This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was Illinois Senate Republican leader William Brady, former candidate for governor of the state of Illinois. Bill Brady set the tone for the November elections. He said, "Do we need higher taxes and a progressive income tax as proposed by Democratic candidate for governor J.B. Pritzker, or do we need lower taxes that will produce more jobs, as promised by current incumbent governor Bruce Rauner?" Brady went on to say, "Illinois desperately needs a balanced budget, and we must commit to reducing property and other taxes." He said, "We have to fix the pension mess. We came very close, but the Supreme Court has outruled several proposals, and until we fix the pension mess, it's going to be very difficult to put Illinois in a growth position." Bill Brady was first elected to the Illinois House of Representatives in 1993. He was known as Landslide Brady because in his primary election, he was elected by a total of 8 votes. He served as state representative until 2001. He's been the Senate leader, succeeding former Senate leader Christine Redonio since August of 2017. Bill Brady is a proud native of Bloomington, Illinois, the home of Beer Nuts, as well as Steak and Shake. Bill Brady said, although he's a Cub fan, he appreciates the fact that the Cubs canceled their game today so that he could speak. Conversely, the White Sox, not like the panty wastes of the North Side, are playing their game today. Brady talked about what happened in the legislature in this last session. Aid to education, particularly for parochial and private school students through scholarships. He said, "We must deal with drugs, including the opioid epidemic." He says this is not rocket science and that Democrats and Republicans can work cooperatively on this. He said Illinois desperately needs a capital plan, but how do we fund it? He suggested maybe gaming and tying gaming in to tourism. He's very optimistic about the coming November election. He hopes that his Republican Party will pick up seats. He says if we do, there will be more bipartisanship in the state of Illinois. Bill Brady said, "I'm very optimistic for the November elections, and the battle cry will be higher taxes or lower taxes with Governor Bruce Rauner."
Paul, thank you very much for that introduction, and thank you all for having me. Thank you for introducing my grandchildren, too. Two of which, by the way, live in Chicago. They vote several times every election. And they love the city of Chicago and all it has to offer, as do my wife and I, and all the hard work you all put into it. I want to thank the City Club for having me here. As importantly, I want to thank the sponsors. I understand you don't get invited back if you don't have any sponsors. So please take a look at this list, and do whatever you can to help them. I also want to thank the members of my Senate Republican Caucus who are here and others who are not, and those who want to join. I hope you'll be kind to them. I intend to be in front of them for re-election in a little bit, and it's important to me that I win that race as well. But for their support and their willingness to allow me to be their leader, I wouldn't be here today. And it's been a privilege and an honor. It's a humbling experience, political life is, and as many of you know, not an easy job, but when you've got the support of the people that I have, particularly in the Senate Republican Caucus, who care deeply about not only their districts, the entire caucus and the entire state, it's an honor to represent them. I guess I also want to thank the Ricketts family and the Chicago Cubs organization for postponing the opener, so some of you might be here, more so maybe the media than anybody else. But I think some of us have probably witnessed opening day with weather like this, us true Cubs fans. Not that I don't like the White Sox, my favorite American League team, but I grew up a Wrigley Field fan growing up with the American Legion forces in Bloomington, Illinois. Thinking of that, there's anyone else here graduate of Central Catholic High School in Bloomington? Yeah, one guy. Same last name, by the way.
Don't talk class rank.
Yeah. Pat likes to tell people that he and I made the top 90% of the class possible. there's a lot of truth to it. His dad always told us, don't be an A-B student. It's the C and D students that'll run the world. So far, we haven't proven that out, but we're trying. But it is good to be here with you today. And it's here good to be here with you today because we've got a lot of challenges facing our state. And I think a lot of good people who are up to meet that challenge. And a lot of great opportunity, I think, to do it. As you all know, our state has a Republican governor, and it has a Democratic-controlled General Assembly, which hasn't exactly made it easy to bring everything together. But I do think we've learned, particularly in the last summer, about how when we put our heads together and set aside our differences, particularly when it came to the welfare of our children and our future and our students, we can have meaningful reforms that not only can the legislature pass in a bipartisan way, but a Republican governor can sign that meets the needs of all the children of this state. And that I'm referring to was the education reform proposal that we passed last year. It was due to a lot of hard work that began with Governor Rauner's creation of a bipartisan commission that I have to tell you worked as hard as any commission I've ever witnessed in this state. They traveled throughout the whole state and they put hundreds of hours into hearing testimony from superintendents, teachers, parents, and others, and came up with a reform proposal that we have been fighting for decades, but were able to achieve under this leadership. Reform proposals that will move our funding of education toward what we call an evidence-based model, a model that works toward the needs of the child and the school district and sets aside the political maneuvering of us in Springfield. That was an important historic event, and I'm proud to have played whatever role I played in it. But it does show us that there are things that we can do if we put our minds together in a political season or whatever to bring real progress to the state of Illinois. Part of that program, one of the most important for me, was a scholarship tuition program for children who come from lower-income families. I've been a strong advocate for school choice. I think one of the greatest things Chicago benefits from is the parochial school system here, as does the rest of the state. And I think one of the strongest things that we did to enhance private, public and private schools as well was develop a charter school network. But this recent legislation successfully put in place a bipartisan program that will set aside $100 million in resources for families who couldn't afford to go to a private school on their own, giving those parents school choice. The sad thing is, I think we've had three times that in terms of applications around this state. But it's a program that we have seen other states use to not only enhance school choice, but to frankly make charter and public schools stronger and better. That's what we need. Cooperation that will work to enhance opportunities for all students in this state. Something that I think was critically important in that summer months that we accomplished. And I think a blueprint for us to move on. Unfortunately, before that, we didn't have as much bipartisan success. You may recall Leader Redonio and President Culleton working diligently to try to come about something called the grand bargain. I think you might have had a meeting or two on it here. And it was a deliberate effort for the Senate leadership to come together in a way that I think would have tremendously moved our state forward. I was intimately involved as Leader Redonio's deputy leader, as were many of members of the Senate here today. And we came up with a real good plan that, yes, would have provided some revenues, but also provided tremendous needed property tax relief, and frankly would have provided a balanced budget, something that this state needs desperately. Unfortunately, Speaker Madigan went his own way, not just of his own volition, but with his caucus and a few Republicans, and unfortunately passed a budget we told him was not balanced, a budget that relied on one of the largest tax increases we've ever seen, and something that hasn't worked in that last session. It's critically important as we move into this session that we do come up, in my opinion, with a balanced budget proposal. We have worked with Governor Rauner's staff as members of the Republican caucuses and leadership to come up with a balanced budget proposal that doesn't rely on a tax increase. And in fact, I'm pleased to say in front of you that if we could pass President Culleton's pension reform proposal that we Republicans embrace, we could provide $1 billion in tax relief to the people of Illinois, something we desperately need if we're going to continue to attract businesses. Governor Rauner also introduced what I will tell you is a balanced budget, as balanced as any budget I've ever witnessed in the Illinois General Assembly. To his credit, he realizes how important it is that we don't have a court-ordered spending plan, that we don't have a partial budget, that we have a full-year budget bringing certainty to the families and the businesses of this state and others, and do it without a tax increase. He said, other than those two issues, I'm willing to work with you on anything else within that budget. And we have to roll up our sleeves and discipline ourselves to get that done in a bipartisan way. I believe we can do it. Why is it so important that we do it without a tax increase? As I travel around this state, the property tax burdens and the income tax burdens that we have placed on families and businesses are damaging the very economic fabric and the livelihood of this state. You know, I've worked intimately with the other three legislative leaders, the mayor and the governor, to try to do things to relocate Amazon to here in Chicago, their headquarters, their second headquarters. One of the things that we've learned, and it's very unfortunate, and I think we've got to be very careful in how we articulate. One of the things we know is that Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon, has been one of the staunchest anti-tax increase advocates in the country. Washington State doesn't have an income tax. And it's not about where the corporation pays taxes. They pay taxes based on where they sell product. But what it is about is the tax burden that are placed on families. Amazon's trying to find a place to put 50,000 families. I believe Chicago has more to offer than any other community in this nation to Amazon, but for our high taxes, taxes that were passed last year, and frankly, our high property taxes. It saddens me to say that if candidate Pritzker is elected governor, he has promised to further increase that tax burden on families and businesses. And I have to tell you, the sad part of it is, if there's one reason we won't get Amazon to locate to Chicago, I believe it's because we fail to understand the penalties that high taxes impose on families and businesses and job creation. And I hope he stops talking that rhetoric about higher taxes and, in fact, a progressive income tax. Every state in the nation that we've seen impose a progressive income tax has lost economic viability and has hurt the very fabric of its economy. In addition to cutting taxes and holding the line on taxes, it's important that we do provide a property tax freeze. We have instituted a number of property tax freezes that give local control back to governments and people in their districts to control their own property taxes. Our citizens suffer from the highest property taxes in this nation. And with the new federal tax reform proposal, it even becomes more expensive to residents of Illinois. The single largest problem we have is the exodus of people leaving this state, going to other states, and taking their dollars and their livelihood with them. If we are going to be what we should be, and that is, I think, the economic center of this nation and this universe, we have got to learn that higher taxes don't drive revenues, more jobs do. I am optimistic, though. I remember discussing at a reception with Speaker Madigan that, I believe that we've laid the fabric through Governor Rauner's budget proposal and that we have plenty of things to argue about without arguing and holding the people of Illinois hostage to a budget crisis. And he agreed. He agreed. We can argue about whether or not candidate Pritzker's progressive higher income taxes are good for Illinois or Governor Rauner's reducing those taxes. We can argue about whether term limits are good for Illinois or non-term limits are good for Illinois. We can argue about whether property tax freeze is good for Illinois or not good for Illinois. There are plenty of things to argue about, but we have to come to terms on what we can do financially, because we learned real quickly that a court-ordered budget spending plan only drives further deficits and debt. I am optimistic. I've had several discussions with President Colleton and Speaker Matty and Leader Durkin and the governor, and I am pleased to say that the governor today asked to meet with the four of us this Thursday to get the ball moving. We've had 3 weeks off as we've celebrated Passover and Easter through recess. We've got 7.5 weeks to get the rest of the job done in a timely fashion, and I applaud the governor's leadership in this area. In addition to the budget, there are other critical areas facing our state. Public safety gives us all great concern. And I know that the Democrats, and I'll say this politely, hastily ushered through a series of bills that they thought would solve the crisis. And I say that politely because they didn't reach out to us Republicans in a bipartisan way to work together. I can tell you, every member of the General Assembly, Republican or Democrat, the governor and everybody else, will do everything we can to work toward making our streets, our neighborhoods, and our schools safe. But we're not going to accomplish the most we can unless we do it in a bipartisan way. And to his credit, the governor has asked the four leaders to appoint members to a bipartisan commission that have already met twice. President Colleton hasn't signed his members yet, but we're not going to let the grass grow under our feet. The children of Illinois and the people of Illinois need to know that their government is working to put laws in place that will bring public safety, gun laws in place, mental illness laws in place, to curb the violence, if not eliminate it, because that's what we're there to do. In addition to that, I was today with Evelyn Sanguinetti, and I think one of the biggest crises facing our country is the opioid epidemic. I don't know if you know this or not, but my son went to Washington as chief of staff to the Undersecretary of Health and Human Services in the Trump administration. And I happened to be out there at a reception where the acting secretary was talking about something that's very alarming. You may have read about it, but the fact of the matter is, for the first time in our nation's history, he said, aside from times of war, the average life expectancy of an American has been reduced because of opioids and addiction. We cannot allow this to go undealt with. We have to, as a state, lead by example. And Evelyn Sanguinetti's commission is working in a bipartisan way to bring about a solution to a very dramatic and difficult situation. This is a rocket science. This is discipline and things that we can accomplish. Cancer is a terrible thing. We all know that. We've all been subject by it. And we have to rely on medical science. But here, we can discipline ourselves and put laws in place that move Illinois to the forefront, ending this epidemic that has so critically affected our people. Lastly, what I hope we deal with this legislative session is capital. We all know how important, Senator Dillard maybe knows more than anybody about how important our infrastructure is when it comes to our transportation needs. He was a strong advocate of all transportation. Now he's obviously involved in the system up the Metra and CTA and through his RTA responsibilities. But our state has a need for leadership. The governor has said he would like us to come together with a capital plan that invests in our railroads, our infrastructure through our highways, our toll roads, our rivers, and our air. And I think it's something that we can come together, even in a political year. We can all go back and run on things. The question is, how do you fund it? And I think there are some ways in which we can fund it. I'm pleased to tell you that we are working on some of those. Some of those deal with economic opportunities that other people have asked for in the area of gaming around the state. I see my colleague Dave Severson over here, who's been an advocate of Rockford being able to compete with Wisconsin eventually in terms of being able to attract tourism and economic development, conventions, and other things. This is a reality that we need to deal with. And it is a way I think we can come together in a bipartisan way, as well as maybe looking at how we can re-leverage some of our debt or restructure it, come up with a capital bill that'll send a strong message that Illinois wants to invest in its future, and we're willing to do so in a bipartisan way. Hopefully we'll work through this session and we will accomplish this and more as we meet our deadline of May 31st. I know there are some that will say the Democrats don't want to give Governor Rauner a budget. The Democrats don't want to give Governor Rauner a capital plan. The Democrats don't want to give Governor Rauner this. Well, I'm not sure the Democrats wanted to give Governor Rauner historic revolutionary education funding reform. But they did, because they knew it was the right thing to do and something they can run on as well. I believe these issues, if we address them appropriately, are issues that we can resolve ourselves in a bipartisan way to move our state forward in spite of the politics. And I hope and pray that we do that in these next 7.5 weeks. As to the next election, as you might know, I'm up for re-election. My 44th district is important to me. Also, my Senate Republican caucus is important to me. As leader of the caucus, I have a responsibility and a drive to elect more Republicans to the Illinois Senate. That's a big focus for us. You might ask, why? Well, I believe what Governor Rauner has been able to accomplish behind the scenes and educationally, and by the way, there are some of you here who care, we worked hard in Governor Rauner's leadership and Felicia Norwood's leadership, provided hundreds of millions of more dollars to our medical care throughout this state. There are things that don't get the headlines. There are things like a budget impasse that takes the headlines. But I will tell you, I will measure what Governor Rauner has been able to accomplish compared to Pat Quinn or Rod Blagojevich any day of the week. I think we work best in a bipartisan way. And I can tell you that the states in this nation, the 5 fastest growing states in this nation, are all led by Republican governors, moving their states forward. I think Governor Rauner will bring our party together because the agenda we support is a good one for Illinois. Once we're able to do that, I think we will be able to take that message as Republicans to independents and probably more conservative Democrats throughout this state to win not only governor's race, other statewide elected offices, but also elect more Republicans to the Senate and to the House in this cycle. And I frankly think that we're far too lopsided as a state. Whether we get to a majority or not, if we pick up seats, I think we can bring more bipartisan cooperation, which will move this state forward. And I look forward to working with my Democratic colleagues to accomplish what we were elected to accomplish, things that are good for the people of Illinois. And as you might imagine, one of the biggest issues facing us is the idea of a fair map. You know, this election is about what governor is going to preside over the next mapping process. And I think it's important that we have a governor in place and we work in a bipartisan way. If we don't have that, if the Democrats control everything, we'll see maps like we saw drawn through Pat Quinn. And I don't think that works to the best interest of our state and our community. So I am here to tell you I am optimistic about Illinois. I know my Senate Republican colleagues aren't giving up on the opportunity that Illinois provides. I'm reminded of a famous speaker who once said, I don't know why they call it an alarm clock. We ought to call it an opportunity clock. And we in the Senate Republican caucus think that every day we wake up, it's an opportunity to better leverage through good public policy what Illinois can offer the people of this state. And I'm grateful to work with my colleagues. I'm grateful to work with the other leaders of the General Assembly and the governor as we work to move this state forward. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today. I understand, do I still get a free one-year membership?
And a cup.
And a cup. Does the free one-year membership include food or do I have to pay? I guess I know the answer to that.
Fairnets and steak and shake.
Fairnets and steak and shake. But I do want to thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to your questions. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, Leader Brady. I want to encourage you to turn over your sponsorship page. We have a outstanding lineup of upcoming events. As Dr. Major said, tomorrow we have the Superintendent of Police. We have the president of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District coming up. And I particularly want to point out the gentleman in the back who was taking a number of notes, because he is going to be on this podium on May 22nd speaking about the future of the Republican Party. Former Illinois Chair Pat Brady will be enlightening us about our party, or the Republican Party. Speaking of the future of the party, the first question we have here is, can you give us an update on the rapprochement between Representative Ives and Governor Rauner?
An update?
Your views on what's happening.
Well, my views, and
you can go back to the mic.
I think it's more my views on how the Republican Party comes together after a close election. Kirk, what was the difference in our election? I don't mean to be painful, but what was it?
193 votes.
And although we didn't prevail because people didn't understand that they needed a new governor yet, we did a great job of bringing the party together. And I believe we'll do the same in this case, partly because of what we stand for, I believe. I don't believe anybody in Illinois thinks, well, I shouldn't say that. There are some people. J.B. Pritzker believes Illinois' future relies on higher taxes. But I don't believe the majority of the voters, particularly independent voters, and I know Republican voters, don't believe in higher taxes, that they are a solution. They believe more jobs are a solution. So I think what happens here, as Senator Dillard and I found, is that we will bring ourselves together on the issues. And where we may not agree with everything, and it's no secret, I didn't agree with Governor Rauner on everything he signed, but we will come together, I think, on what's important. And that is issues that are surrounding fiscal responsibility, economic development, and frankly, term limits. Term limits, I think, are an issue that are huge for the people of Illinois. And I'm not taking anything away, by the way, by saying term limits from anybody who's been in office and served that long. I'm simply saying there's a lot of good people who could cycle through the offices of state government and eliminate some of the vast seniority that I think has had far too much control.
Thank you. We have a question from Lawrence Massal of the Civic Federation and a City Club member. Does the loss of Illinois population throughout the state increase central Illinois and downstate competition with Chicago, or does it mandate cooperation with Chicago to attract more businesses and reduce the number of Illinois governments?
Latter. There's no question. As goes Illinois, so goes Chicago, and as goes Chicago, so goes Illinois. And frankly, I think it even works with our neighboring Midwestern states. We collectively can build a better economy and fabric. And I think a lot of reasons that Amazon and other companies look to the Midwest is because of our values, our Midwestern values, our work ethic. And that's something that we need to leverage, not only our economic presence, but I continue to say we have to rein in government spending. As I talk to businesses throughout this state, high taxes are not doing it. Jeff Bezos, as I said, indicated or led a 2010 fight against higher taxes in Washington State. That's what gives me most concern about him turning away from Chicago. And it's not the income taxes, I said. It's the taxes disadvantage that his employees have when they come here. I would argue that Chicago offers more to Amazon than anybody else but for that. Can we overcome that? I hope so. But I don't think we overcome it with the rhetoric of increasing taxes and imposing a progressive income tax.
Governor Rauner has been a successful businessman before being elected, and so has J.B. Pritzker. Would you say that business people make better governors, since you have served under both business people as well as experienced politicians?
You know, I think it takes all kinds. I think one of the things that we haven't done well enough is sell what Governor Rauner has done with his business experience to reform state government. I indicated a couple things earlier. not to mention his passion for the students. But I think his business experience, coupled with his passion for our children and for our state's future, have been good. And let's face it, 60% of what governors do never meets the press, never is done in legislation. It's behind-the-scenes operations. And I've seen great business-like movement in the way we're operating our departments. I go back to the way in which we accomplished the new hospital assessment program. We took a business approach. I can't speak to J.B. Pritzker's business acumen. I don't know. I know he's a good philanthropist, and I know he tries to do well at business, and I don't take anything away from that. I do know Governor Rauner has been a successful, self-made businessman who's created a lot of jobs and understands that organization and discipline get that done, which is what he's brought. I will confess, though, that I think he ran into more of a roadblock than he thought he would with Speaker Madigan and President Culleton. There's no question that he ran into more difficulties than what he thought he would do. I think he's learned from that. And I think I go back and cite the success of the education bill and the hospital assessment program is evidence that another 4 years of Bruce Rauner, I think, will be even better and more accomplished than what we've achieved in the last four.
Question from City Club member William Bowler. Are you here, William? I don't see him.
Right here.
Okay, great. The elephant in the room is still pension funding and the reform of pension formulas moving forward. Is there a grand bargain to be had, or are we just going to kick the can down the road again?
You know, when I first ran for office, I fancied myself as a pension hawk, realizing that we were not going to, we couldn't continue down this path, and unfortunately have. You know, in the last 30 years, you know, guess who the only governor to fully fund pensions statutorily was? Who? George Ryan. The only governor to fully fund pensions statutorily is George Ryan. Unfortunately, and you can't blame just the governors, the legislature. And unfortunately, we've got this position now where we've got over $130 billion, $50 billion in unfunded liabilities. We've passed, in a bipartisan way, numerous reforms, only to have them thrown out by the Supreme Court. I think misguided by the Supreme Court, but to have them thrown out. I mean, hell, we tried asking pensioners to pay 2% of their pension toward their health care, and the Supreme Court said no. So that's the fight we're up against. I do believe that President Culleton's proposal, which Governor Rauner has embraced, and many of us in the General Assembly have embraced, which would allow us to offer pensionable salary increases in exchange for reducing a 3% compounded COLA to a COLA that's more in line with the cost of living, would pass the Supreme Court. I frankly will tell you that anything else right now, given the makeup of the Supreme Court, is a waste of time. We can save, though, $1 billion. The good news is, not to leave you just with a negative note, is, you know, when I ran for governor, we were able to push the issue enough that the Democrats passed a Tier 2 system. So our grandchildren may not have to deal with this problem because those in Tier 1 won't be around anymore. But I think we do need to exercise the $1 billion in savings that we could have under Governor Rauner's proposal and Senator Culleton's proposal to take advantage of what we can. This only works to help us fund other needed areas, but it also works to help preserve the very pension system that those annuitants are reliant upon, which most people will say will go bankrupt if something isn't done.
I have a question from Alex Teske. Is working across the aisle truly a viable option for Republican officials when the general rhetoric coming from conservatives, donor groups, and media outlets from is so virulent?
Very what?
Virulent.
Virulent. Can I say that?
Yeah. I again, I know that We are involved. Politics in America, if not every country in the nation, has been virulent since its nature, right? I mean, we've all read history books about some of the deceptive media practices that Benjamin Franklin and others used. It's a blood sport. You're going to hear some things that make you want to curl up. But it doesn't mean we can't set that aside when we need to. And we do. I think Governor Rauner realizes that. Again, evidence, you can have your own opinion, but you can't have your own facts. The facts are that Governor Rauner, in a bipartisan way, led us to education reform. The facts are Governor Rauner, in a bipartisan way, led us to health care reform, particularly as it comes to the hospital assessment. So we can overcome that. Yes, we have to do what we can to win elections, and sometimes that's saying unpleasant things about your opponent. As I told Speaker Madigan, you know, I can work with you, but don't expect me to say nice things about you, because I don't win elections saying nice things about you. And that's the attitude I think we have to take, and I think we can take. But there, you can say unnice things that are strictly a difference of opinion. I believe this referendum is going to be, do people of Illinois think we need higher taxes with J.B. Pritzker, or do we need to hold the line and reduce taxes with Bruce Rauner? To me, that's the simple election question. If you think we can grow our state by raising the tax burden on families and businesses, vote for J.B. Pritzker, because he clearly supports that. If you think we can grow our state by holding the line on taxes and creating jobs, vote for Bruce Rauner and more Senate Republicans.
Well, tomorrow is opening day for the spring session of the Illinois Senate, and I don't think it'll get canceled by weather. So join me in thanking Leader Brady, who is here today.